Coffee Club, Coffee Club. Grind your beans and grab your favorite mug. It's Ollie Morgan, George and Gus. It's them boys from Coffee Club. Boys from Coffee Club.
Hello everybody and welcome back to the Coffee Club podcast for episode 147. Today we are once again over the internet. I'm still up in St. Moritz. The boys are down in Zurich. We're making our way over to Paris, taking it one step at a time. First off, boys, how are the vibes down there? How's sea level feeling?
Pretty damn good. No, vibes are good. It was nice to get out of St. Moritz just for a little change. Yeah, like Morgan said, we're halfway to Paris. That's kind of the goal, and then nice to have a bit more variety in terms of food / coffee down here. We went to a Japanese restaurant last night and we're sitting on the floor. It's quite the experience, actually. In St. Moritz, we can literally only eat pizza, it seems like, or Italian food. There's like nothing else to eat, and no coffee as discussed many times, but it was good ramen, right?
I was telling George during dinner, Sage and George were cooking up a sweat.
I was sweating so much. It was so spicy and so humid inside. It was like we were in this back little like room on like a little tatami room, I think is what they called it.
Mm-hmm.
With like a table like this high. Yard was struggling.
Yeah, Yard wasn't a
his
fan.
Legs were like this.
He was not a fan of the seating arrangement.
He couldn't cross his legs.
But he got some tea, so he was okay. He had some tea and then some udon. But yeah, the food was like, honestly, probably the best ramen I've had in a long time. It was very good ramen. Okuri, I think it was called. O-O-K-I.
Or Uki or something.
Uki.
I think Zurich just has really good restaurants. I feel like I've never had like a bad experience somewhere.
Yeah. Very good restaurants. Very good coffee here. We tried a new place called Cafe Laurel. Some new coffee place that opened up 2 weeks ago. Yeah, the vibes have been really nice. Weather's actually, it was pretty cloudy yesterday. It's sunny today. The only thing is that we'll go through the yard complaints. Number one, there's no AC in the rooms. Number two, you have to walk everywhere for everything. Number three, the coop is pretty small and the internet's not working at my place. So little setbacks, but
Yard's not loving it.
Yeah, but everyone else is having a really good time.
And he also has no windows.
He chose the worst room because he felt bad for Mario and Mario's girlfriend because they were coming in just in the other room, and I took the other room, which I thought was the best room because I was there first. So first in best dressed. I mean, like, yeah. So, but it's fair good. Enough. Good vibes here.
That sounds like
how's St. Moritz.
St. Moritz, same old, same old. The crew is getting smaller up here. Pretty chill morning. Kai took us up into the hills again today, and I was not feeling it. My legs were quite tired, so that was a bit rough. But no, it's actually still continued to be very nice here. Definitely best St. Moritz trip I think like we've ever had collectively, just mostly due to the weather, and I don't know what else, but I think the weather is a big part of it. But yeah, so this episode we have some big, very exciting topics to talk about. We have Ollie getting his first Diamond League win, Everything London Diamond League, in probably the craziest mile 1500 meter race that I've ever watched. And then looking forwards, we have some fun Olympic things to talk about. But before we do get into all that, super, super exciting. Our merch number 2, or whatever you want to say it is out now. And head to coffeeclubpod.com to purchase it. The way that we're selling this one is we're doing a pre-sale model. So you can buy it or you can put your order in for 1 week only. It's available. Put your orders in, get your clothes, and then they'll get made pretty quickly and shipped out to you. And we're pretty excited to share this one with you because I think our last merch, like, we were so happy with. This one is a bit more out there, I guess. It's a little bit different. These ones will be a little bit more expensive because, like, a little bit higher quality shirts made in the USA, all that good stuff. But we've been able to have a lot of fun with them. So our little collection, we have 2 t-shirts, 1 long sleeve and 1 hoodie. And it's all Olympic themed. So we've dived into the ancient Greek kind of mythological references with this one. I guess you can check them out on the website. The one I'm wearing right now, In Ghost We Trust. We've got the nice Myth of Sisyphus on there. And there's just a lot of fun references through them all. And how do you say it?
I wasn't sure if it was syphilis.
I don't think that's the name of the... I think that's a different thing.
Oh, that's different?
Yeah.
Right.
Easy to get confused, though.
I got distracted.
Easy to get confused. Easy to get confused.
That's an easy one to get mixed up.
Yeah, syphilis.
All right. That's how I'm going to remember that one, though. That's syphilis t-shirt.
Yeah.
The syphilis t-shirt. I should just say quickly, if you're watching the YouTube version of this, the only like kind of asterisk I have to put in is this dark brown of the one that I'm wearing right now, the In Gus We Trust, they ran out of this color. So it's actually going to be more of like a light pink. So I just don't want anyone to like be like, oh, where's like the one that he's wearing right now? So you've been warned. But yeah, they all have fun references on them. We've had a lot of fun with them. So go check them out on the website. Put your order in, just 1 week only. Support the podcast, et cetera, et cetera. You know, just fun Olympic stuff. But yeah, that's our merch. Check it out for 1 week only.
Yeah, definitely go get some of that. Morg's worked super hard with the designers. So it's a pretty special collection, I would say. Very one of a kind shirts.
Yeah.
Yeah, you'll get asked a lot, I think, when you're out wearing it. Where'd you get that shirt? So
it is the kind of shirt you'd get a question about.
Yeah.
Yep.
For sure.
And is it time? I think we have a nice little bean shout out. That's 1 week. 1 week delayed.
1 week delayed from Monaco. Me and Yard were about to cool down, and we saw just coming out to us in the distance, coffee club shirt, excitement, and a beautiful bag of beans from a lovely person named Aline, I think. Oh, it's not. It's Alan with an I. A-L-A-I-N. Aline. Is that correct? If not, Aline, I'm butchering your name as usual.
Sounds like a woman's name, but I don't know.
It was a bloke that gave it to me, though. So
maybe it's Alan.
It could be just Alan.
With an I.
Yeah. Anyway, Alan with an I. But thank you so much for giving us this bag of beans. They are... Well, I'll read out the message anyway because it's a little short and it's very sweet. Dear Ollie, Morgan, George, and Gus, thank you for your endless hours of entertainment provided for my runs and for representing Australia and New Zealand so honorably all around the world. Please enjoy the best coffee on the Gold Coast from Blackboard Coffee Roasters. From Aline / Alan / Aladdin. You did a little coffee club thing with...
It's honestly a pretty good drawing of Gus.
Yeah, pretty sweet. This is the bag. It's a pretty sweet bag. It is from the Gold Coast, which is crazy. You got it from all the way from the Gold Coast to Monaco. Honestly, that was just so impressive. Me and George have both sampled this. Really enjoyed it. Thank you so much. It's always just an absolute pleasure to get a bag of beans from a fan. So very excited to continue to use them. And
all the way from Australia is really impressive. If they really did bring them to Monaco. That's
it's pretty amazing.
We love that.
Do love to see that. Should we do one more shout out before we get into topics? This is once again episode 147, sponsored by our very good friends at Roll Recovery. We've got the R8 Plus with us still in Europe, making the trip from... Now I've had it in Paris, Samaritz, and Zurich. It's going on tour with me all summer, so that's been super fun. And we now have a discount code for everyone. Coffee Club 15, all caps, I believe. It'll be in the description, links, probably Instagram. You guys will find it. So use that on the website if you want to copy any of their products. We love the mat especially. That's a like ideal product to use at the track every day, along with their rollers and everything. And yeah, just really cool company to support. We've had like a super close connection with Roll since we started the team in 2020. When during COVID they had some extra office space and for a year. Maybe like a year.
Yeah.
We were like using part of Roll Recovery as our gym space, which was really cool. So we had a super close partnership for a bit there, and in the early days of OAC. So yeah, they've been part of the journey for a while. So yeah, go support them and use code CoffeeClub15 for 15% off, if that wasn't obvious.
Amazing. Shout out to Raw Recovery. Love those guys.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
Love them.
So taking a little trip back to this past weekend. That's the preamble. I think that's it. It was a bit more today than normal, but we got through it. And now we can go into London. We hyped up this Diamond League. We knew it was going to be a big one. Final Diamond League heading into the Olympics. So some really good matchups to be had. See what everyone's form is before the big dance. And I think we hopped straight to the Emsley Carr Mile because for us, that was the highlight. And it was, I think it certainly lived up to the hype. I think probably the best way, Ollie, can we just hear it from your perspective? Because I think from the outside, it was absolute madness. I can't even imagine what it was like to be in the thick of it. What was it like?
Yeah, it was, tell you what, it was interesting. I mean, shout out to London. They always turn up. I think it was sold out stadium at the West Ham Stadium. 60,000, I think it was. And just before we went on, just to give you guys context, the women's 800 was on and Keely just ran 154. I think Kat was in like the last position and she ran 158. So it was an insane 800. So the crowd was already pretty hyped, pretty excited. The cool thing is, I think Yara last year ran the 1500 at London. But this was the Emsley Carr Mile, a lot of history around it. But there's a big book that they bring out in the call room and every athlete in the mile has to sign that book. Big leather book. And every Emsley Carr Mile, everyone signs regardless of where you finish. So you sign that book, which is pretty cool.
That's really cool.
That was pretty special. We went out in the track. Nerves were pretty high. And we get to the line. They do their thing. We line up. And they held it for a very long time. Like we were on the line on your marks for a good amount of like maybe 10 seconds. It was long for maybe 10, 15 seconds. It was long for a mile start. Usually they put you on, you're kind of steady and then all of a sudden the gun goes, but he held it for a while. And then in my experience, I thought I was going to get a good start. I kind of got knocked pretty badly, but I was able to stay up and then all of a sudden I kind of went back a little bit and I just see the blue speed suit of Neil Gourley just face planting into the ground. Laros as well had gone down. I could see him. And then obviously watching the replay of the race, I saw that Gourley tried to get up and George Mills just kneed him straight in the face, trying to hurdle him over. He had already hurdled Laros and tried to hurdle Neil, was unsuccessful and kneed Neil in the face and they both went down. Laros got straight back up. I mean, amazing run from him. Like that's two falls in a row, back-to-back weeks at Diamond Leagues. He fell in Monaco and fell again in London. Yeah, honestly, that was one of the most impressive things I've seen is he got back up, got back on the pace and then got fourth and ran 3:49. So that's no joke. And he should take a lot of confidence in that going into the Olympics for sure. It's very impressive. When that happened, it felt like a bit like a dream. It was very jarring. I tried to get on the outside and then near the lead. And then
were you like waiting for them? Did you like think another gun was going to go or something?
I thought someone was going to jump out in the track or something was going to happen. Yeah. But it was pretty devastating because it sucked. Like the top, like the three best, some of the three best guys in the field went down at the start. Laros, Neil Gourley, and George Mills went down. Two of them Brits. So you can imagine the crowd. Big booing, reaction, and then silence
for most of the race. They're literally the two guys going to the Olympics in that event.
Yep.
For the UK.
Silence.
And they were like, fuck it, you're done.
Then it was just dead silence. Stewie took the lead. I went behind Stewie. And then we just ran, and there was just silence.
That couldn't have been a better situation for you, though.
Yeah.
Hopping in right behind Stewie. For like some pretty nice pacemaking up front. Like once you got through the trouble, that was as perfect as it could have been.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I got pretty relaxed. And then Stewie slowed down on that third lap and I was questioning going around him to keep pushing it. I went to his side for a little bit to try and he didn't want to relinquish the lead. He kind of went a little bit again, but it was still a bit slow and I know the pack behind us caught up. So I thought, oh, I'll go 300 to go. And I went and just tried to stay relaxed. And then from 200 to go, I kind of didn't really kick because I thought that I'm going to need a kick in the last 50 meters. Like, surely they're going to come up and get me. And I was like, I wasn't sure who it was going to be. And I was like, if it's Nave, after Monaco, like, I don't want him to beat me. And it was Nave. He came up right next to me 50 meters to go. And luckily, I was able to kind of go again a little bit and just dip him on the line. And he had a great race. He's always actually, he's really good at running that type of race, getting in that last 100 meters and being in a good position. So he's going to be a massive threat going into the Olympics for that. And looked up and won my first ever Diamond League. And it felt pretty jarring. Like, it felt like it was a bit of an asterisk on it because, you know, three of the top guys fell. And you obviously, when you race, you want to race the best guys and they all want to be upright and competing. And, you know, a win's a win.
That's sport, though, you know?
Yeah, a win's a win. You're going to take it, but...
staying on your feet is part of it. You got to stay on your feet if
yeah,
you want
I guess
to win.
So. I guess so. But it was a weird feeling afterwards because I... Not that I felt guilty about it or anything like that, but it did seem like, you know, it was a race where, like, if I won that race with Gouli trying to kick down and George Mills trying to kick down and I won, that would be a much more satisfying feeling. But end of the day, a win's a win. I won a Diamond League. Not many people can say that they have done that. And I've been wanting to win those since 2021. I think my first one was in Gateshead. And I got second. I've got a lot of seconds, a lot of thirds, and a lot of top eight performances, but never will win. So I'm pretty happy about that. I got a cool little silver plate. I'm not silver, sorry, glass plate cool. thing. And they took me over to the book again, and I got to sign my name as the winner, which was a pretty cool experience to do. Did a lot of media afterwards. I coined the term, "We're runners, not wrestlers," because everyone was asking about the fall. And, you know, I just felt like I was like, oh, maybe they probably should have called it back. Like, they should have called it back. You know, it sucked. But then we found out that the callback rule was only NCAA. In World Athletics terms, there's no callback. So that's what we've been told, apparently, because I know that Mills was obviously extremely frustrated. So was Neil, and Laros got up and ran 3:49, which was great. But I'm sure he was extremely frustrated after falling in Monaco. It's not what you want. But people looked into it, and apparently there is no rule about that, which sucks, but it is very, very annoying, because the past three of the four Diamond League races have been falls. Eugene Hobbs Kessler didn't finish. There was a clip up, Cooper Tier was able to keep his feet and got a massive gash on his spike. I remember seeing that. There was a big fall in Monaco. Laros went down, and another fall, in London, and it seems to be happening a lot, whether it's in the first 20 meters or
in
the race.
Oslo, no one fell, but Nave lost a shoe in the first 50 meters.
Yeah,
it's literally been the 1500 this year has been notorious for falls, like as far back as probably before. But remember, every single heat at World Indoors, someone went down. Almost every single Diamond League this outdoor season in Europeans, like half the field was on the ground in the European prelims. Like, all those people got put through. They're like, this has been a crazy year for falls in the 1500.
Elliot Giles and Josh Kerr fell in the 800.
I don't know what's going on with it.
Yeah, I mean, Elliot Giles has been in a lot of falls.
Yeah, a lot of people were blaming him. Do you know, like, who... Is there someone that you could assign blame to for this fall? Or was it just a collection of kind of people, you know, like, unavoidable almost?
We rewatched the video multiple times. I was with Cameron Miners. That's my new nickname for him because he's a miner. Cameron Miners, agent really JT. We watched the replay, and there is somebody at fault. And I think it is Giles, because I think Giles hits me and Laros. Laros goes down in front of Neil. Neil goes down. Neil tries to get up, and George goes down. However, I don't know if it's like Giles just clipped. It looked like Giles clipped Laos from behind, so he cut over or cut in too soon. It just looked like it came from that area where Giles was at. But I mean, yeah, Giles has been involved in a lot of falls recently, so I think people are a bit annoyed about him. But I mean, I think it's not necessarily that's the issue. I think maybe there's just too many people in the race. There's like 17. It's a lot.
It's a lot for a mile when you don't have the 120 meters you get settle. For a 1500. But yeah. I want to say Europeans are way more likely to fall than races in America. Is that a hot take? Races in there's the something US, about it. I feel like runners are way less like aggressive or antsy in the first like 20 meters in the US. I feel like Europeans are, maybe I'm like calling them out here a bit. I reckon Europeans can be pretty aggro in the first like 30 meters.
I think there is something to say about that, but I don't want to particularly blame anyone. And like maybe Giles has just had some really bad luck, and same with Laos, because Laos has gone down twice. But it seems like everyone's extremely aggressive in that first 100 meters to get position. But you watch the best guys like Jakob, Josh, a lot of those guys, they just try and wait it out. And then like on the 200 meter bit, whether it's the bend of the straight, they just make position there, you know? And a lot of the rest of the field try and get to that position early, which obviously the earlier you get there, the easier you can settle in. But it's just been a lot of wrestling instead of running. But luckily no one was hurt, because when falls like that happen, you always consider like people can break their wrists or, you know, tear something or get slashed up by spikes. But fortunately, no one had any serious injuries, I'm pretty sure. So that's a really good positive out of it. But sucks for George Mills.
Neil didn't have a concussion.
Neil Gooley. Oh, well, Gooley got a knee in the face. He's bruised. Actually?
He looked real bad.
Yeah. He got swollen around the sides. And he doesn't blame George for that. I think George was just coming in another angle and he just tried to hurdle him, and Neil got up and it was just, you know, just what happens, and it just sucked for them. And I mean, you'd have to replay and watch the race again, because from what I remember, I think Giles tries to come either behind Laos or next to him, and then Laos goes down. But it was such a messy start. Luckily, I was right in front of me too, so I was lucky not to go down as well. I got nudged pretty badly, but fortunately was able to keep my feet. But you don't really want to blame anyone. It's just, unfortunately, it's a bit messy at the moment. You just hope it doesn't happen at the Olympics. Imagine if, you know, the Olympic final, like rounds, people get sent in, but Olympic final, if a fall like that happens, top guys go down, people are going to be pretty upset because they don't get to see the race that they wanted to see. They just see a fall. So,
yeah. Well, that's my takeaway from hopefully it doesn't happen in the Olympic final. But in the Diamond League, like, whatever, there's no rule for a callback or something. Fuck the rules. Who gives a shit about whether there's a rule or not? Like, this whole race is set up for people to run. There's 60,000 fans. There's two Olympians in this event are running in the Olympics in like 2 weeks time. You've got 17 people on the start line of a mile. Just as the starter, you just look around and say, all right, if something happens in the first 50 meters, I'm going to restart this race no matter what. Who gives a shit? Like, 100%. You do it for the sport. You do it for the people that have come all this way to run this race. You do it for the 60,000 fans. Because what are they going to do? Like, ban you from being a starter, or like ban you from being an official because it wasn't in the rule book?
Well, they should just They should just put it in the rule book.
But fuck
people that. Would love
I,
you.
I don't
people
understand you. Why you wouldn't just do it for the sport.
Yeah, I don't know why you wouldn't just put it in the rule book anyway.
Like in the Diamond League, it's like, hard luck. Like, no, fuck hard luck. Like, this is supposed to be entertaining. Now the race is significantly less entertaining for the majority of the fans because they're British fans and your two best British runners are lying on the track.
Yeah.
No, and those athletes have put so much into being there.
Yeah.
Yeah, and because they wanted to put 17 people on the line, like, now there's been a fall. Like, that's not their fault. Maybe it's someone's fault, but yeah, that's my takeaway from it. But very cool, Ollie won. Good way to take advantage of some carnage.
Yeah. No, honestly, big win. There's a big fight down there, the last 100. You mentioned Nordas, but also, you know, a few other heavy hitters fighting it down through that final stretch. And to come out on top, that's going to feel pretty good going into the Olympics. So all credit to you for that.
Thanks, boys.
And I think in terms of distance, the other one was the 3K, which had actually a really good battle, especially in the last lap between Grant's. Do we? What's our nickname for Grant?
Grant Hunter. Fisher Hunter.
Whatever it is, him and. Yeah, that's crazy that we don't. I'm just thinking like that. He seems like
we just had Grant. We just had Grant's girls.
Do you have Hunting and Fishing, the store in New Zealand? Is that where you got that from?
Yeah,
Hunting and Fishing.
But Grant's girls and Dominic Lobalu fighting on that last lap, and they were running really fast that last lap. I think their last 200 was 26 low or something like that. It was a really good 3K, just like well paced, lots of good, you know, a good battle throughout it, as 3Ks in the Diamond League often are. Dominic Lobalu winning his second Diamond League 3K, I believe, in 7:27, which is a very fast time. Grant not too far behind after doing a good amount of the leading. So looking great going into the Olympics. Big run from Sean McGaughty. I think he clocked in a 7:32.
McGaughty. 7:32, yeah, that's pretty good.
Not bad at all. I saw Grant up here as well. Just a little fun fact. He's made his way up here. A few of the Americans have started filtering in here before they head down to Paris. But yeah, that was a sick race as well. But I think that was kind of it, at least in my memory, in terms of distance. So just a couple of sweet races. But yeah, I think that was it.
I mean, like 3Ks are cool. I'd love to do a flat 3K at some point.
You got to get in one. I think there's probably, is there one at Lausanne or is that it for the season?
Slancia. Yeah, Jakob's running one in Poland.
Slesia?
But it'll be world record attempt.
Probably going for the world record, if you had to guess.
Yeah, so it might not be as fun for you, George, to run that.
let's all get in that one. That sounds fun. What's that, 7:20 pace, 59s? 58s? Shit, that's quick.
59s, casual.
maybe some 58s.
That is fucking quick. Jeez.
Yeah, not well, some Americans went to Font-Romeu, though, as we were just researching this morning. But
I was shocked by that, though, no?
Mike Smith Elite in Font-Romeu. I don't know what's there. I don't know why you choose that.
Probably a lot of wood to chop in Font-Romeu, don't you reckon, Morgs?
I think it's a little more blue-collar than... A little more blue-collar than St. Louis. That's great. The main thing Mike Smith's Warriors. I can't think of like why you would choose to go there.
What's
France.
The name for Mike Smith's groups? Warriors, is it?
I just drew that one out there just because, I don't know, they're in Font-Romeu. It seems right.
I like it.
Yeah.
Is it? It can't be that blue collar. It's got to be like still, it's got to be kind of.
It's a ski town, doesn't it? It's a ski town in Europe, so you're right. Yeah. I actually have no idea. It's just that Saint-Moritz, I guess, is the opposite of whatever blue collar is. So that's the only reference point there. But yeah, pretty random they went there. I guess it's probably just a train ride away from Paris. I don't think it's close to Paris, but you probably can just hop on the train to get up there. So I guess it's probably a bit easier to travel, but I have no idea. I'm just making that up. I assume so.
I think it's like right next to Andorra.
Yeah.
I think you would like have to drive to Barcelona and fly. And maybe you can take a train. That'd be a long freaking train. I have no clue. Yeah. we're all just guessing here.
Yeah. We should ask them. Speaking of
the Olympics though. You guys looking forward to those cardboard beds?
Yes.
Yes.
Are they the exact same as in Tokyo? Based on your guys' experience?
They're incredibly comfy.
Yeah, they're the same.
Are they really?
Yeah. Ollie and I had no problems with them. We had a great time, right?
We did have a lovely time, considering Morgan had a broken pelvis at the time.
True.
He was okay with it, which honestly for me, it was comfy. It was fine, yeah.
Yeah. I think it's the idea of a cardboard bed sounds not right, but yeah, for whatever reason, they work. Maybe they don't last quite as long as a regular wooden bed or whatever you want your bed to be made out of. But for the 2 weeks in or less, whatever you're putting in on them at the Olympics, definitely get the job done. So I'm excited to return to those cardboard beds. Honestly, we were talking before the podcast, the Olympic hype is ramping up. We're very excited for. I think the three of us, I don't know, but I think we're a little bit like in our bubbles at this point, starting to really like zone in on the race, which means that we don't quite like expose ourselves to everything. Because, for example, my mom was telling me, she's like, oh, have you seen like all the videos of like people like entering the village and stuff? I'm like, no, I haven't seen any of it. But apparently it's looking pretty sick out there. But in terms of the Olympic experience, I am excited to return to the dining hall and just have constant food available all day. That was one of my highlights in the last one. That's what I'm very excited for. And just the vibes of the village, just like walking around and seeing like, you know, friends and just other good athletes just out and about. I think I get in there on the first and I don't race until the seventh. So I'm going to have a nice little stint there. Hopefully I don't get overwhelmed by all that village excitement. But yeah, what is it that you guys are most looking forward to in terms of your Olympic experience outside of the race itself?
Well, this is my first one, so I don't know as much about what to expect, but
it's kind of our first one too, because we didn't really have any, like, we were kind of in a bubble anyway.
COVID Olympics?
Yeah.
We had the coffee machine though.
We did have a coffee machine. That was sweet.
Oh yeah. I'm looking forward to infiltrating the Australian building for a fight. Why? That's going to be my mission, to try and convince them.
Dude, they're real serious about that. I think Ollie and I both thought it wasn't that big of a deal. I think because I remember Joe wanted a coffee really bad, and no, they take that really seriously. They're like, we put all this money into getting this over here. Like, this is just for you guys. This is Team Australia. No black and white Team New Zealand allowed on the premises. But we'll still try
sneaking one. Walking past, seeing. Yeah, I remember seeing all the Americans walking past with all the Aussies just being very snarky and arrogant with their cups of flat whites and cappuccinos and just rubbing it into everyone's faces. And
the keep cup was actually one of my favorite parts that you guys brought back.
Yeah, the cup was pretty sweet.
Like that you got to go and order it. That was cool.
I wonder if we'll get another one, but I guess we'll find out. I don't know what I'm looking forward to, really. Probably just to see my family. That's going to be nice. My family gets to watch me run at the Olympics. I know Morg's family, George's family are going to be there watching. Pretty exciting. I'm sure, you know, after all the years of us being overseas and being away from them, competing away from them, they get to come watch us at one of the biggest events in the world. It's pretty cool. So looking forward to that. I'm not looking forward to the amount of TikTok dances and YouTube videos that people are going to be doing around the village. That's going to really annoy the shit out of me. But other than that, it's going to be great seeing people that I haven't seen in a while, excited for all the athletes to compete and do their best and, you know, win medals, whatever. So I'm excited for that presence. I'm not excited for the TikTok.
You don't want to go viral at the Olympics, bro?
No, I'd rather teabag a cactus. So no. But I'm really looking forward to seeing a lot of people that we haven't seen in a while. And obviously, I think there's like a cool On House and Oakley House that are going to be there. I'm cool to see that as well. Hopefully hang out with Fred, my boy Fred Curley.
That's right, at the Oakley House.
Yeah, and hang out with Josh Kermit the Josh. But
The guy who looks just like Josh isn't actually sponsored by Oakley, right? The hurdler?
I don't know if he
just wears them?
Maybe he is. I don't know.
Is that guy sponsored by Oakley? You know, like the sprinter, Josh Kerr, who looks exactly like him.
Yeah, not sure. But hopefully I can hang out with Josh and ask who his social media person is, because I'd love to hire them to do my content, because he's been blowing up recently with his social media.
Got to give a shout out to the Discord. The Discord, and we have a meme section on the Discord, and they're going so hard on Josh Kerr, because I think is either his last caption or the one before it was about, I mean, all his captions essentially are the same, but this one was about working hard in the shadows, and he was just getting roasted by everyone. They're just like, yeah, working hard in the shadows, except for my daily Instagram post.
Why did they not comment that? That'd actually be funny if they did that.
I love it.
Actually, what I'm looking forward to, which New Zealand team is kind of known for, is the the village welcome, like into the village as the New Zealand team. You get like the haka done for you by the team, and there's this like Maori stone that you put your hand on and like choose a, and at Com Games at least, you got to choose this little kind of like a little pendant thing, and at the Olympics it's a like it's called a punamu, like a New Zealand greenstone thing.
The Lord of the Rings cast got it.
Do they?
Yeah, because there's a great story on a talk show where Sir Ian McClellan talks about his punam, that he wears it to, it's supposed to help you bring, go back to New Zealand, but it gives you a bit of luck. And he wore it to the Academy Awards, and every single award that New Zealand was nominated, I mean, Lord of the Rings was nominated for, won, except for his. And he's the only one that won the punam. So then he went to get a beer, and he's like, oh, it didn't work. So it's a really good story, but that's a really cool thing. That and you were telling me about the haka this morning.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Actually, that's the thing, because the people in the village already do the haka to the people coming into the village, which means I need to learn the haka by next week.
So we're going to see some George Beamish haka. Fuck yes.
Yeah, so that I don't embarrass myself.
What about Maya?
Yeah, and Maya also needs to learn it before next week. Because at like the New Zealand pre-camp, they have like, they like practice it as a team and stuff. So they like, they're actually going to know how to do it. Because once I'm there and other people, we are coming into the village late, so there probably isn't a lot of people still coming after me. But then you do like a haka if someone wins, like if someone wins a medal or I don't know what the other occasions are. But it's really embarrassing if you don't know how to do it. So that's me currently. So I got to learn that this week while I'm in Zurich. There's like a little,
wow.
And I got seen a couple of links, some videos, and hopefully some words.
We'll do some work. We'll work on that together, George. Ollie and I will help you train if we're allowed to. I'm not sure if we're allowed to.
Yeah, I'm pretty educated in the haka. Ah, come at it. Oh, anyway.
That's pretty good.
Wait, hypothetically. I was just going to say, hypothetically, yeah, if you get there on day one, you could be doing like 10 plus hakas throughout your time in the village. If you're like welcoming everyone, you're like celebrating all the medals.
Some people are probably doing like 3 or 4 a day because it's like every person who comes in. But like you don't necessarily have to be at every intro. But then there's like a welcoming committee that does like definitely does all of them. Like more like the admin people for the New Zealand team. And then maybe just like whoever's staying right next to the New Zealand team. Or if you're like, if you compete early on, I bet you just like immerse yourself in like supporting the rest of the team. For if you like are just still in the village, like those people are probably just doing hakas all day.
Jesus. Yeah.
I actually don't know. I'm making this up. But
you guys do your hakas and we'll have our coffees and watch.
Sing Waltz.
That's our ritual. That's our welcoming ritual.
Honestly, Waltzing Matilda should be our national anthem.
Yeah,
it's such a good song.
I've like seen videos of them singing it in stadiums. It's freaking sweet. It's
amazing.
It hits hard if you're Australian. That one hits the hardest, I think, out of any of them. Because Ollie, I think we do have a song, don't we? I think we have some special Australian Olympic song or pledge, and I don't actually know what it is.
We do have a pledge. We do have a pledge.
I don't know it off my heart,
though. I wish we would have more stuff in Indigenous. Like, I remember when I was in school, we used to sing the national anthem in Indigenous language. I can't remember which one it was, but I wish we did stuff like that because I love how you guys do the Maori, like, stuff in the national anthem. I don't know. I think it's cool. So
at least our uniforms anyway, now, I think, have a good amount of, like, references and, or, like, they do a good job.
I don't like our uniforms, to be honest. But
oh, really?
Looks like we're high vis workers, not runners, because it's like so. I hate yellow. I'm not
like the wrong yellow. It's the wrong yellow. Needs to be more gold.
It's more of a yellow than a gold.
It's green and gold.
It's definitely a yellow.
It's a high vis yellow. It's like a highlighter yellow. It's just so ugly. It looks just crap. The green always looks good. Green always looks good. But if it was green and gold, get the gold in there. Anyway. It's all right. When the coffee club sponsors the Olympic team, we'll sort it out with our merch, because obviously this merch drop is going to be very successful. So
when it's mostly green, I think it looks too much like South Africa.
Yeah, No.
I think that's why they...
But I prefer a gold than a, yeah. than a high vis yellow.
Yeah, agreed. I agree.
So.
Agreed. Well...
We don't have their shit. There's only one. There's only one mode of black.
Yeah.
Not, there's not too many ranges of black.
Yeah, can't mess it up. But do you guys... So you guys are black and white. Are you guys ever silver and black, though? Or is that... Am I making that up? Do you have, like, the silver fern? No?
Yeah, but it's just in... The normally silver fern is just in white on a black shirt. Or in black on a white shirt, I guess. It's never... We don't actually ever have anything that is silver colored. Okay. I don't think.
Fair enough.
Might be making... I'm kind of guessing here. You're but sure? I haven't seen anything silver.
No, there's been nothing silver, unfortunately.
Nothing at Comm Games was silver.
Maybe not allowed to use silver and gold. Maybe it's a whole thing. Maybe that's why you have to go to colors like yellow and white, because like gold, silver, and bronze are the metals. I don't know.
There's actually a plausible...
I just made that up.
Hypothesis. I could believe that.
Yeah.
A little bit.
I just made that up.
That's a rumor being spread on the podcast today.
Yeah.
As we do.
As we do.
Sweet. Well, is there anything else to cover in our Olympic hype? I think we actually did a pretty good job. These over the internet episodes are always a little more tricky to coordinate and communicate. But I'm very excited that we will cross over in Zurich for a brief couple of days at the end of this week as I go down there on Friday. So I'm looking forward to seeing you boys there. And once again, everyone, go to coffeeclubpod.com, check out our merch. Put your orders in 1 week only. Get them in. Support the podcast. Support our world takeover, and just have fun with it, because we're very excited to share this with you once again. So, you know, we wouldn't push it if we didn't love it ourselves. So, yeah, I think is that it for episode 147.
Yeah, I think that's it. I think we're all set for the next time. Hopefully, we'll be all together in beautiful Zurich.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
Or zucchini, as I like to call it.
One more in.
The locals call it zucchini.
locals only. But yeah, once again, thank you so much, everyone, for listening to the Coffee Club podcast. And we look forward to seeing you all again next week. Ciao, ciao.